Welcome back to the Tank Me Later podcast, which is part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. I am your host, Noah Rubin, and for today's episode of the TML Draft Series, we are going to be talking about Kentucky guard Rob Dillingham. So let's go ahead and get into that. And quickly, before we talk about Rob Dillingham, I just wanted to remind you the support for this Fantasy Basketball International podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming? Shaving your jewels doesn't have to be risky business anymore thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This trimmer is all about keeping things smooth and safe so you can trim with confidence. Treat your wrinkleberries and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com to get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FBI20. With Manscaped, it's easy grooming, no surprises. Trust me, this trimmer will be your crown jewel's new best buddy. I love this thing. Comes with a compact case. I'm about to go on vacation. I will be taking it with me in the nice case with the bag that it comes with, to the toiletry bag that it comes with, to take everything with you on the road. So just a reminder. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FBI20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FBI20 at manscaped.com. Show your balls some love and feel free as a dove. And just along with that, note that we changed our code. It is no longer FBI. It is FBI20. And that's just what you're going to have to use. So, so we're going to talk about Kentucky guard Rob Dillingham today. I'm going to go ahead and pull up my slideshow that can bring up some facts about him. So again, Kentucky guard, born January 5th, 2004. That's going to make him 20 at the start of the draft. And he is 6'3", 176 pounds. There are certain measurements, like the overtime elite measurement when he played there before he played at Kentucky, that had him at 6'1". Just going to kind of depend. I'm sure if he's able to inflate his height a little bit, then he will do that. Don't blame him, but a smaller guard. The per 75 possession stats, just as a reminder before I mention what the stats are, using per possession stats, that helps us to even the playing field between, G League Ignite prospects versus international prospects versus college prospects. Just as a comparison, Kentucky, since, Rob Dillingham, we'll talk about Kentucky, averaged 76.7 possessions this year, and G League Ignite averaged about 95 point something. So an extra 20 possessions per game. Obviously, Rob Dillingham isn't playing all 40 minutes of these games. In fact, he only averaged about 23 minutes per game and only started once this year. But that'll be more in line with potentially the possessions he would see in an NBA game as a full-time starter. But also context being important that this was college basketball versus G League versus overseas in different leagues. The play style is different. In college, teams tend to be a little, obviously lower scoring. There's plenty of complaints from people that follow the NBA about college basketball offenses. Also, like I mentioned, Rob Dillingham was coming off the bench, playing the role as a sixth man. So things are different in every sense of the word. G League Ignite players are playing against players that are trying to get called up to the NBA, prospects that recently got drafted that are getting developmental time, players that are playing for a check, whereas Kentucky at times was playing against teams that players were there to get a four-year degree. So the context is important. But as far as the per 75 possession stats, 26.5 points, 5.1 rebounds, 6.8 assists, 1.8 steals, 0.1 blocks, 3.5 threes, 3.5 turnovers, 47.5% field goal percentage, 44.4% on threes, and 79.6% from the free throw line. So I have him as my number four prospect. No ceilings in their latest big board had him 8. Sam Vecenie's latest big board for The Athletic, which was from a few weeks ago, had him 10th. ESPN has him 4th, and Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer has him 8th. So I'm a little bit higher on him than most of the other big, I'm not going to say most of the other big, because that's not true. Most of the big draft names in the media space. I don't want to say other because that's literally not true. I'm a little bit higher on him, partially because I like him a little bit as a fantasy player. My ranking is not strictly fantasy. In fact, it's less fantasy than real basketball, but I see the vision for him. So that's why I like him. Some of his strengths. It's really all about his offense. The shooting, we obviously saw him 44.4% from three. That was up there. 3.5 threes per 75 possessions. He can finish. He's a crafty finisher. Good handle. Fun, flashy passes. So just kind of a do-it-all guy offensively, especially for a small guard, like kind of what you'd imagine. Early comparisons that I saw that didn't really stick for reasons that I will explain. Trae Young, but then you see him doing a windmill dunk in like one of his most popular highlights. So more of an athlete as far as verticality than Trae Young. But still a crafty ball handler that can shoot and pass, create his own shot. You can also look at Kentucky guard theory, which may not be an official term, but Kentucky guards end up being better in the NBA than they were in college, for reasons like they're playing on stacked teams because they got a ton of other five-star prospects in the same class as them. That just is what happens every year. A lot of his strengths are on the offensive end. The steal numbers were pretty good as well, but that also kind of feeds into one of his weaknesses, which is like, sure, the defensive production is there as far as steals because he can get his hands in passing lanes. You know, he's a smaller, shiftier, quicker guy, can poke the ball out, get some steals here and there, but that can get him out of position defensively, make him kind of a minus defender at times. And then he's just a smaller guy. So even if he can use that to his advantage the best way possible, we see small guards have success in the NBA. Steph Curry really started the revolution on that as far as being like a really good scorer at, not that he was the first small guy to be, a good scorer, but because obviously Allen Iverson and other guys, but we've seen Trae Young and Jalen Brunson, especially recently, just like small guards that have success offensively. Now, Jalen Brunson is, I think, a stronger, stockier guy than Rob Dillingham is currently, but I think the lack of height/size and that plays into what can he do defensively outside of force some turnovers? Is he doing enough offensively/ not getting beat defensively enough to keep him on the floor? His ceiling to me is that of an all-star. I think his play style fits in really well with what you imagine an all-star point guard to be. That doesn't mean that he's going to be a top 5 or top 10 point guard like that. Like those two are not one and the same. They could be, and he has that ceiling, but I think he's a guy that is going to be, or has the potential to be in the conversation for the All-Star game every year, because I think he has the upside to score a lot of points, get a lot of assists, get some steals, hit threes, make fun plays, like things that people want to see in the All-Star game. But that, the weaknesses that we saw kind of play into like, what is his floor? Is it could be he's just a microwave scorer, which not that's a bad thing, but the Bones Highland comparison is also a pretty popular one. What we saw or what Bones was this year is probably Rob Dillingham's floor to me. You know, a guy that we saw have success in Denver in the playoffs, like we know he's capable, but he goes and plays on a competitive team and he's entirely out of the rotation for parts of the year, especially after they got James Harden. And then he came in after their spot in the West was kind of locked in, and he had some really big games as a scorer. Like he's capable, but the Clippers don't believe that that's what is the most beneficial for their team, like giving him minutes. So I think that's the floor for Rob Dillingham as a guy that, hey, we know that this guy can be pretty good, especially in fantasy, but he's not giving us enough offense to make up for the lack of defense. Now, that's his floor. I think, again, like pretty much with everybody, he'll probably fall somewhere in the middle. But that's not to say he's definitely going to be a bad defender. I just think the lack of size kind of makes everything just a little bit harder for him, which, you know, Trae Young is a guy that I've compared him to a couple times, that has done enough offensively that when the offense is good, and the defense was improved this year, but even considering Trae Young as one of the worst defenders in the league, like if that's in your mind, but he's making up for it by being one of the best offensive players in the league, like that's kind of what you have to be in order to be a starter. Like you have to at least have one outweigh the other. And is Rob Dillingham good enough as a defender that his offense is the combination of the two is still a positive? I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like if, say, this is not like a real stat that I'm throwing out there, but like he adds like 2 points per game and only gives up 1.5 points per game, or like something like that, where it's like the offense, the positives from the offense are outweighing the negatives from the defense. It's a lot of words to try and say that. That's what will help him be able to be on the floor a ton. Some of the ideal team fits, honestly, the two that are the best fit for him, in my opinion, are the Spurs or the Wizards. Two teams where like he can come in and start day one if they choose to do that. You know, with San Antonio, they have Trey Jones, but they need to figure out point guard, and whether they do that through Rob Dillingham, a different prospect like a Nikola Topic, or through a trade, like whatever they end up doing, I think Rob Dillingham there would be good. Plus any defensive issues that he has, especially as a rookie, can be cleaned up by Victor Wembanyama down low and a couple of other guys that they have. And then in Washington, this is something that Matt Lawson and I talked about. There's nobody on that team where you're locking them in, like definitely got to be part of the future. Definitely got to build with them. Like there are some young guys that are really good. Koulibaly, Avdija are probably the main two, but if you want Rob Dillingham to come in, you know, come off the bench at first, maybe learn behind Tyus Jones, who's one of the most efficient point guards in the NBA, and Jordan Poole, who, you know, maybe not picks up some of his habits, but a guy that won a championship, just learn things. And then eventually be the point guard in Washington. I think those are two good fits. Most of the other lottery teams have an option at point guard that they probably want to stick with. So yeah, like obviously things change so quickly in the NBA that within a year or two, Rob Dillingham could be the guy, or he could go to one of those teams and they bring in a different guy that ends up working out. So those are probably the two main ideal fits that I see as of right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's where he's going to end up either. But all in all, really like him as a prospect. Think he has got a ton of upside, especially just to be kind of like a fun offensive player. But just keep in mind, he is a rookie. He will be a rookie point guard. He's going to have struggles. That does not mean that he's a bust just because he doesn't come in and figure out how to play point guard in the NBA immediately. Keep that in mind if you get him in Dynasty and are frustrated at first. But that's going to do it for this episode of the TML Draft Series. You can like, comment, subscribe. Would be very helpful. You can follow me on Twitter at NoRubin22. You can follow us at FBI Basketball. But that's going to do it for this one. I will see you guys next time.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.